As I get ready to read Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, because they do go together, I just want to ask you a question. Do you have a longing in your heart to be in a different time and place, or do you have a longing to have a different job maybe, or maybe to live in a different home, or just a longing in your heart that just seems unquenchable? I want to give some space to that, for that longing. I want you to recognize that's real human life, and that to have that longing is part of being a human. But today, as we work through this, I want to talk about how God can use that longing in our lives for us. Okay? So let's read the psalm, and then we'll go into it. This is another famous one. We've been working through some of the famous song-inspiring psalms. Here it is. As the deer panteth for the water. That's not actually this translation. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how I used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sounds of a great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God and I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. This is Psalm 43 continues. Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from the unjust liars. For you are my God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them be my guide. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Do you long for better days? Maybe if it was only 50 years ago and life was different, you'd be happy again. Do you have that longing in your heart? Or perhaps there's somewhere over the rainbow, some future time that's going to be so much better. This is what I know. I know that our hearts long for something different than we have right now, and that longing is real. And so I want to give you space to know and to understand that when you have a longing, it's real. You have a longing. It's a symptom of something. It might not be a symptom of what you think it is, but it's a symptom of something. In my viewpoint, it's always a Charles Dickens world as he starts A Tale of Two Cities with, it's always the best of times and the worst of times. So life is not quite as simple as it was 50 years ago. How many of you were doing laundry differently now than you used to do it? Is it simpler now? Okay, so it is the best of times and the worst of times in some ways. But this longing isn't just about the time that we live, because How many of you can travel time? Can you go back 5 years and live in that 5 years when you had that good experience? No, that's what memory does. But you also can't move forward at a faster pace. Our world would like to move forward at a faster pace, I think, but it doesn't help us get there. How about this? Perhaps if only my land or the house that I live in, perhaps the street I live in, if it was just this other street, if I didn't live in this house at this time in this city, it would be better. Can we keep up with the Joneses? Sorry, Art and Ann. You didn't know we were all trying to keep up with you, did you? You don't have to try, he says. But perhaps the problem isn't the city you live in or the country or the government or the place. What about this is the one that kind of strikes me a lot. I have a friend that has this deep connection with God, and I long after the connection that he has. If I could only be like him, life would be better. Is there a longing in your heart to be better connected to God? Yes. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after him. The one thing about this psalm I want you to hear is I feel like it's at a fulcrum point of the psalms. Psalm 42 is book two of the psalms. Did you know there's five groupings? And there's sort of five stages of life that you go through, and as you read the Psalms, you know, you can exalt with them, and you can lament with them, and they can follow your life. But this is one of these fulcrum points in the Psalms where you feel like you can hear the psalmist talking to himself, "Why are you so downcast, O heart? Why don't you? Where is my trust? I feel like everywhere I go, it says this. I just wish that times were better. Perhaps I could go back to when I was with this group of people." Just want to give you some space to recognize that you have this longing. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you have a longing like that? I'll raise my hand. I have a longing sometimes to be different than I am. It's really good news to me that this is not the final state that I'm going to be in. I will be different at some point in time. Do you do this sometimes when you think God's not done with me yet? And you go, I don't really want to be this way forever. There is a blessing there. But there is a longing to be different and it's real. And so when you see our world at work, at play, in the X Games, in the adrenaline junkie world that we live in, where we just need more, better, faster, everything. He who dies with the most toys wins. Only that's not really the way it is it? It just seems like it. We're living this life and we're longing after things. But I hate to tell you this, that if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have him in your heart and you don't know anything about him, the X Games theology that's the best you've got. They're right. They need more. They have the law of diminishing returns in their heart. They got excited by this one thing, but the 35th time you do it, it's not as exciting. You have to do something else. And pretty soon, I saw this videotape of somebody that he's up on top of a skyscraper, and what he does is he, on the internal angles, so he's like 35 stories up, he stands over here and he falls and does push-ups over the open spot because he's just not excited enough by life. Ew. I mean, and I'm not afraid of heights or anything. I know some people that are. But really, this is where we've gotten? And they're right, unless they know God. And it's a symptom. And it goes in the medical field. And I need to just tell you this little story because it's the best example I can give of how to treat a symptom and not the problem. And some of you may know this. I didn't treat my body particularly well as a wrestler. And some of the treatments they give you as doctors sometimes cause other problems. I had two hip surgeries around the mid-90s to treat a symptom. It was a fairly new surgery. They did it as day surgery. The cool thing was, do you remember this? We checked in at 1. They weighed me. They knew exactly when I would wake up. And I walked into the hospital after they had dislocated my hip and worked on it the same day. Surgery is not the same as it used to be. But I had had this hip surgery. And the doctor that did it, it had been done 1,000 times in Washington at that point in time. And he had done 900. He's the guy. Right? Of the 900 people he'd worked on their hip, 12 of them had to have the surgery again. It's decent odds. I was number 13. The first surgery lasted, 6 months? About 6 months, maybe a year between the surgery. The second time I had the surgery, it took 2 months for the symptoms to return. Treating a symptom. Now, I ran into him in the hospital. I was doing a hospital visit a number of years ago, and I ran into him in Sacred Heart, and I was going down the stairs from the 6th floor and doing this thing, and I caught up with him, and I passed him on the stairs, and he goes, "Dave, doing pretty good. That hip surgery worked." And I go, "No, not actually, but God healed my hip." See, what happened with the surgery is they were going in and they were cleaning the chunks out of my hip that were kind of grinding in the joint, but they weren't taking care of the reason I was getting chunks of cartilage in my hip. God took care of that in a dream. I was at seminary. I was having a dream that I was being healed, and it woke me up. And the hip muscle was just going like crazy. And I was pain-free from that point forward. But God wasn't treating a symptom. He wasn't treating the thing. He was treating the problem, which the doctors couldn't do anything about, except more radically, which probably would end up with a hip replacement. You know, as a fairly young person, you don't really long for those sorts of things. But you do long. I was at the spot where I literally couldn't sit or stand in any position for more than 20 minutes. And it was at its height when I was taking a year of Hebrew, 8 hours a day in 5 weeks. And can you imagine taking a class and having to move every 20 minutes when you're in a class 8 hours a day? So God healed that. And so I want you to hear that I was longing for the healing, and I was going to the doctors, and they were giving me the best they got, which was to treat the symptoms. We live in a world that treats the symptoms. But as we do our self-talk, I need you to know that what he's got is better for us. Let me read this again, okay? Are you ready? That's Psalm 44. See, I was all ready. As the deer longs for streams of water, hear this as self-talk. Can you talk yourself into this for a moment? As the deer longs for water, so I long after you. Can you put the reins on your heart and turn him from more adventures into longing after God's presence in your life? Not after the signs that he's been nearby, not after the healing of my hip. I don't long for my hip to be healed again. That's been done. In the same way as when I see the sign that says Colville 10 miles, I don't turn around and say, "Well, I got there." The sign means that there's something real behind it. So God's working in your life, you're experiencing him, but you don't long after the experiences of him, you long after him. Him. His presence in your life, the work that he has to do, and sometimes it's going to feel like, "Where have you gone, oh God?" But he is always near to you. He is always near. At another fulcrum in the scripture so big that many commentators think that it has a different author, that Isaiah 41 from Isaiah 42. A lot of commentators say this is so different in Isaiah 42 that can't be the same author. Here's Isaiah 41. Verse 10, so I'm off the page. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend." This is God speaking. Some of you weren't here last week, but others were. Do you remember the little phrase that I had you repeat with me a little bit? "I am his and he is mine." Can you say that with me? Just if you don't remember it, you can just say it with me. I am his and he is mine. That's how you become a child of Abraham, a person of God. You submit yourself to him. You ask him into your heart. You become his and he is yours and you are his. So this is you. You, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham. Colossians that Dave read to us today. My friend, you whom I've took from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just in case you just thought that he'd reach down with his right hand and all those things, I want you to know this one little thing. Do you know who my righteous right hand is actually a name for somebody? It's a nickname. It's a title for Jesus. I will uphold you. He is always near. He is always close by. He is always there. He's so close that even when you feel lost, the second you turn, what do you discover? That he has always been there with you. You are not alone. And so what we need to do is turn our souls in the same way as last week we talked about how do we enthrone him on the throne of our heart. This week, I want to turn your heart so it aims at him all the time. So that the number on your house and the address on your street and the city name and the zip code, they aren't the source of your longing that, oh, if they were just a little different, life would be okay. Your life is okay. He's called you friend. He is calling you to be near him. Turn your heart. Can you have your self-talk say, oh, as the deer pants for the water, my soul longs after God. You won't be saying all the time, why is my heart so downcast? Why? Where is this God of mine? I won't be hearing people do that because I'll know where he is because my heart longs to be with him. I won't get caught up in the signs of his presence. I won't long after experiences. Did you know that there's a Christian way to be the X Games believer? I know some people, they just chase after prophecy. They got new prophecies. There's a group in town that in September, October last year, that there was a big cataclysm coming. Do you remember that? Do you remember the big cataclysm? Me either. Well, anyway, the lady comes to me and she's talking about all these prophets that are doing all this work of God. Now, I believe in the work of God. I have fully experienced God's healing presence in my life. I've heard prophecy. I've heard tongues. I talked last week about a translation. I've heard God translate Korean in my head and didn't even know it was happening. I believe God works. But when she came to me and she says, what do you think about all these prophets prophesying of this terrible cataclysm, that my initial reaction as an Old Testament reader, as a guy who's really read the Old Testament, I have a feeling we're about to find out who the false prophets are. Because when you read the Old Testament and there's more than one prophet speaking and they're all saying the same thing, what do you know? They're the ones that are just telling you what you want to hear. Because God's voice is always a solitary voice in the prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah thought he was alone. I'm alone in the last one. I'm the only one speaking in a chorus of 850 false prophets. And then Micaiah in the same story comes up and they're saying, well, should we go to battle? And yeah, there's this voice from God over here. And they make sure you agree with everybody. The king wants to hear this. No, he does not. Well, that same group of people with the prophecy of the cataclysm last year, they've got a new cataclysm coming. They've got new prophecy. They're so excited. The signs that God has in your life is not God. Prophecy is not God. God is God. And we need to long after him, not just the signs. Now, the signs are good to have every so often. Yeah? Wouldn't it be nice to have a sign every so often? But you don't ever stop at the sign, do you? When you're on the road and you're driving, you don't stop at the sign. In Disneyland 10 miles ahead, that was so much fun. Let's turn around. No, to be with God, to long after him, can your soul long? Is that better? Okay. You know, I went like this and I touched the button. Must be a sign I'm done. Just kidding. Because the scripture here does this one thing in Psalm 43 that completes Psalm 42. Just turn to it for a second, will you? Do you have a Bible in front of you? If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. Or maybe you don't have your reading glasses. I none of the Bibles in the room are big enoughly printed without my reading glasses. This is Psalm 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Okay, do you see that? Send out your light and your truth. Send us a sign. Show us the way. Yes. They will lead me to your holy mountain, the place where you live. Just like a highway sign, just like a road sign, the light and the presence, the word of God, we don't worship the word of God. The word of God is a sign that sends us to where God lives. Can we learn how to do that? How to be the I am his and he is mine believer, where we cling to him and not just the signs of his presence. Then, when we come into the presence of the Lord, the source of all our joy, the Bible is not the source of all our joy. No, God is the source of all our joy. And the restoration that he brings to us, that there is a longing in our heart, that longing is real, that we need to be with God, is the correct location for the longing to be aimed at. Can you redirect the longing of your heart to the place where God lives so you can be with him, that I am his and he is mine, believer? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, today as we seek restoration and the longing in our heart is real, help us redirect. Help us not go mindlessly or aimlessly toward some destination we know not where. But send your light and your hope. Guide us, Lord, that we might be your people in love with you, that we might be the I am yours and you are ours. Amen.